This is Meredith Sisko for these Ozark Hills. There's a certain comfort in being able to predict reliably and in advance just when that tree is going to fall, that rock face is going to collapse, that other shoe will drop. But I don't know that that would be a good thing. I think that for me, if the warning came, I wouldn't be paying attention. Or rather, I'd be too wrapped in attention to something else, like that saying that life is the thing that happens while you're otherwise engaged. Ah, yes, so much of life just races by, according to Sonia Rutstein of Disappear Fear, and she's right. It's true. Were it not for some kind of milestone event every once in a while, most of us would probably lose track of the spiral of events altogether. Another sage has remarked, kind of cutely, that time is nature's way of keeping everything from happening at once. But in these days of multitasking and two or three jobs and constant texting and tweeting and Lord knows what else, doesn't it seem like everything is kind of running together? And then we have an event, and then we respond, and we have another milestone. I guess that is good in a way, although we seem to have had kind of an overabundance in recent years. There's kind of an odd duck of a man, David Brin, who is both a scientist and a science fiction writer, who was talking one day recently on our community radio station about the development of artificial intelligence, the history of it, the hope for it becoming a real aid to the furthering of civilization, and he also spoke of the kinds of problems it's encountering in its development. He or somebody said that advances in AI would occur so rapidly that within the next 3 years they would have a mechanized person who could think for itself and do the work of 20 people. But wait, the interviewer said, wouldn't that put 20 people out of work? There was a silence, and then someone said, let's move on, and they did. But I was tossed right back into the 50s, standing in my mother's kitchen watching her make donuts the old-fashioned way, one that I don't have time to tell you about right now. But she was shaking her head over an advertisement for a new washing machine, an automatic, that would be the salvation of the modern housewife, a truly amazing labor-saving advice. And she said, it's a code. They're not saving anybody's labor. They're making laborers obsolete. And over the years, it's only gotten worse. I don't know about you, but I have a little trouble with making online purchases that are then delivered by drones. It almost tickles me when one makes a mistake and crashes into a building. I mean, why should anyone be bothered by making major life choices on the advice of some intelligent soup can or having some mechanical mosquito know your address well enough to dive bomb a large box of comestibles and let them fall onto your covered front porch? Then you open the box and find out they've included their famous and tasty pita chip dust, manufactured en route by the 3 cans of organic diced tomatoes that some doofus packed in the same space as the chips with no padding in between, and thence no protection for the chips from the rocking and rolling and sometimes tossing, caroming, and plummeting of those heavy cans of good intentions. Really, personal experience that happened to me. I mean, geez, oh, Pete, even I knew when working in my parents' grocery store as a teenager to put the bread and the chips on top of the canned vegetables and the hardware when I was sacking the grocery so nothing would get mashed. Any intelligence, artificial or real, would be helpful in these circumstances, don't you think? I'm pretty sure one big reason McDonald's hires so many older workers now is that many of the younger ones don't know how to make change without the computer telling them what to do. I mean, doesn't that creep you out just a little bit? It does me. They can make electronic gizmos that can mimic the synapses between the neurons in your brain. They're trying to work out what electrochemical combinations they can insert in these machines to make them be friendly to humans. And meanwhile, in some places, a large number of those exiting high school in the spring will not have had courses they comprehended in physics, chemistry, civics, history, or even an adequate command of their own language. Maybe if I were more absorbed in modern culture, I'd be less concerned. But I'm so old, I actually remember when crackers came in a barrel and nails in a keg. And when if you wanted chicken for dinner, you went out and killed a chicken. I remember when pre-sliced breads was so new, it was practically magical. The greatest thing since, well, whatever came before sliced bread. We learned enough practicalities in our educational efforts then to take up our part and step into adulthood. But there is so much more now to learn. Lately, though, I'm seeing signs in the young people I've talked to and listened to that give me hope. They're smart, they're confident, and they're ready, many of them, to take that leap of faith into making democracy work by taking part in the process. It's a curious thing that as we move in a direction we call forward in our world, some of the things that we tend to leave behind are the very things that will get us through if the way gets rough. But some hold on to the important ones. They know that faith means knowing that a bean seed will never sprout into a tomato. Hope means we'll strive to be strong enough and wise enough to put our children and our communities first before snake oil salesmen, and clear-sighted enough to see the dangers in mistaking ignorance for righteousness. They know that charity means showing loving kindness toward not just those we like and those that are like us, but those also who are unbelievably different. Knowing that they hold up a mirror to ourselves so that we can look into our own eyes and ask if we can dare and if we can bear to love one another. 50 years ago this week, there was rioting in the streets of America after a man named King was shot down, and we saw people being washed away by fire hoses and bloodied by police dogs, and here in the Ozarks, we watched it on our 10-inch black-and-white televisions and tried to puzzle out what it all meant. And we watched as a shaken young white man standing on a truck bed amid a crowd of heartbroken, dark-skinned hundreds, he stopped the riots in that town with a single sentence. "I, too, had a brother killed by a white man," he said. And in that moment, he stopped being a Kennedy or a Democrat and became the embodiment of all it means to be an American and a decent human being. And that tradition continues today, showing up in the unlikeliest of places. And we learn that sometimes in our hardest days, we come to our finest hours. I pray the generation coming up has the wit and the will and the fortitude to claim their place in the fabric of our civilization. And I see many signs that that is indeed the case. Every year, as my generation of Americans continues to leave the planet, those young ones and their wisdom, if they can hold on to it, will be the ones who will carry us boldly into the future and whatever it holds. This is Meredith Sisko, deeply grateful to be living in these Ozark Hills.